Everybody, Pastor Kevin here. Thanks for joining us today. I'm going to be talking to you about sacred moments. That's where we've been in this series. And today I've entitled part four of this message, Moments to Memories. Moments to Memories. And when a moment becomes not just a moment, but a memory, we're getting the most out of it. It's the memory of it, building feelings and emotions and intentionality around a moment. That becomes like a memory system in a sense. And that memory, we're going to get the most out of it when that happens. And sacred moments are deserving of that because it's kind of easy to slide past a moment sometimes and not get out of it what we should. Because here's the reality. Every moment is forming us. But there's some of those sacred moments, those moments that become not just an average moment, but they're sacred. And there's something there that we need to let form us and maybe get healed from in some cases, because if it's a tragic moment, or get the most out of it in other ways and see that it's a catalyst towards other things God's doing. And there's an intentionality around getting all the value out of that moment, more than just the present experience. And so let's do a little review, because if we go back to Luke 2, that's where we'll be, and we're still in Luke 2. We're mainly going to be focusing on one verse, but I want to read you kind of where we left off last week. Verses 10 through 12, it says this from Luke 2. It says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And so the angel makes this incredible message announces this message to the shepherds. The shepherds are blown away, and they, of course, run. They drop everything, and they go in a very quick way to see the Savior of the world, this Messiah that's been prophesied about. And it's an incredible thing. And then in the Christmas story, there's a verse that I think you could easily miss. It's such a little short verse, and it's verse 19 of Luke 2. And so let me read that to you, because I want to talk about it. I want to unpack it, because I think it ties clearly to this idea that moments need to become memories. And when a moment becomes a memory, there's something there that takes us to a deeper level. Let's look at it. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary, the mother of Jesus, she treasured up all these things, everything that was going around. The context is, the shepherds have just come and seen the baby Jesus and visited and were very excited, and they left Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and they went out and told everyone everything they'd seen and heard, and the news started to spread. And it's right in that moment, right in that present moment, that Mary treasures up all these things, and she begins to ponder what's going on. And so I want to unpack this, because sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. So let's look at this verse again. It'll be on the screen for you. "Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And let's just break down this verse a little bit. So treasured up, what does this mean? Well, I just put this on the screen for you. Just treasured up meaning there's a, when you treasure something, you're protecting something valuable. You're having it in such a way that you could come back to it. It like a hidden treasure, like a treasure chest, like something that has immense value. And I think I put on the screen for you that this idea of the meaning here is to keep carefully, to guard, to preserve, to hold on to something so that it's not lost, to put it in a place that you know exactly where it is. Now you might go, "You mean like my car titles, Kevin, like in the file cabinet?" Well, Yeah, those are important things. As a matter of fact, recently I somehow lost the file to the car titles, which is weird. It must have got pulled out and put somewhere. So I literally had to reorder all the titles for all of our cars. But obviously that wasn't in a safe enough place. So what I'm talking about, when I think Mary's treasuring something, she's protecting it in a way that it's like, you know, in a, like a safe, really safe place, a place that's so valuable it can't be lost. And she's not just remembering this moment. She's she's storing it up in a way that she plans to, again, come back to it again. As a matter of fact, she is right in this moment. She's thinking. She's storing it in a way that she knows, I can get back to those memories and back to those memories and back to those memories. It's would be likened to a family heirloom or maybe an original piece of art that you own and you're like, or maybe it was something that a great great grandmother painted and you're like, I've got to keep this in such a great place that I'll see it all the time or that it won't get damaged in any way, but I want to think about it. Art is meant to be enjoyed, so it should be viewed. But you know, maybe it's a photo that's super old. As a matter of fact, we have a great 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 relative that was in the Civil War, and we have one of his rifles that, you know, is from so long ago that's hanging up in my brother's house, and it's really kind of fun to just see it sitting there. And I don't know if we'd call it a treasure, but it's a cool family heirloom. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the name of that relative was Epaminondas Pelopidas. Yeah, all the kids had Greek names. All the brothers had these crazy. So just let me just say it to you again, because it's such a cool name. Epaminondas Pelopidas. Wow. Those are just his first and middle names. So anyway, I get a sidetrack so easily. But the teaching idea from this idea that Mary treasured up these things, everything that was going on, all the happenings, that the shepherds had just been there and they left, and then she starts, I would say, she's treasuring up, so she's got them stored, but then she's doing the next thing that the verse says. She's beginning to ponder them. She's beginning to connect the memory, the moments, and forming a memory. I liken it to connecting the dots. And so she pondered, and it says she pondered in her heart, and that's on the screen for you. In other words, she's connecting the pieces. And in the original Greek, it really means to bring things together, to compare things, to begin to see how does this puzzle piece fit with this puzzle piece. I've got all these pieces, all these moments that are like a puzzle pieces. How do they connect? How do they come together? And in other words, this ponder something in the original language here means to not to passively reflect, but to very intentionally reflect, to pull out the meaning of things, to begin to see how the pieces come together in a way that's forming a picture that has more depth to it than just an initial passive moment. And so Mary is exercising her faith in an active way that's connecting the dots. She's reflecting on the angel coming to her, and then the angel coming to the shepherds, and was that the same angel? And the prophecies, and the promises. And as she's reflecting, she's beginning to form a picture, a memory picture, that's comprised of multiple moments that she's going, God, this is like, I'm so actively in this that up till this point, I don't know if I saw how all the things are beginning to orchestrate. I mean, of course, you know, Elizabeth and the baby in her womb, and how does that connect with the angels and the shepherds now? And then the fact that we're in Bethlehem, and you know, it's like all these things she's pondering and treasured up, and I have to think that she's, you know, thinking about the trip there to Bethlehem and wow, I got you got us here. That was a really hard trip. You got us here. And she's, as she's pondering the prophecies, and I mentioned last week Micah 5:2, but I can't help but think that she might have even recollected the messianic prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, which says, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I mean, I can't help but wonder if she is whole as, I mean, as she's reflecting on that verse. I mean, we don't know for sure. It doesn't tell us she was reflecting on that verse. It's a little bit of Kevin hearsay here, but I can't help but, if she's pondering and treasuring, what is she pondering and treasuring? I can't help but going, man, was she thinking about the fact that, wow, that's me. I'm a virgin. As she's holding the Savior of the world, as she's holding God incarnate, that literally she's going, God is with us. God is right here. I'm holding God. God in a bod. God, Emmanuel, God with us. I can you imagine kind of the aha moments as she's treasured these things, all these things, and she's pondering in her heart? I just can't help but wonder what's happening here. And maybe, you know, it's going to be, this isn't going to be a one-time moment, this Luke 2:19, where she's treasuring and pondering. Because remember, she's treasuring, which means she's storing them up in a safe place to come back to and reflect on. And as the story of Jesus's life and Mary and Joseph's life with him is continuing, a little later on, most scholars think that when the wise men came up, and in the Matthew's gospel, he touches on the wise men, and he says this in Matthew 2:10-11, it says, when they, the Magi, saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And what were the Magi? They were scholars and intellectuals. They were priestly in many ways, but they were wise men who'd studied the stars, astrologists, astronomers, and they were advisors to the royalty. They were advisors to kings and the royalties. And it says when they came here in Matthew 2, and some people go, were there only three? Well, there were three gifts, but we don't know how many wise men. Most likely, there were probably more than three, and a large entourage of people. I'm sure they had their security guards. I'm sure they had the supply people. I'm sure they had all those to take care of the animals. I'm sure they had chefs. I'm sure they had a big group of people, and they all come. And Mary's pondering this as they come and show up. Can you imagine? This would be just like, I just can't imagine. You have a baby, and all of a sudden at your house, boom, shows up. This royal court in so many ways, this entourage and security. Matter of fact, my nephew just had a baby, he and his wife, Sid, and they just had a little baby, Isla Jane, just this Christmas season and just last week. And I was thinking about them, thinking, what would it be like if like foreign dignitaries from another land all of a sudden showed up at their front door and said, we would like to see Isla Jane. We followed the star and we want to see her. And you know, just the what would Sid do? I mean, what would Sid think? What would Ben think? You know, and in this case, what's Mary? She's pondering that, and they come in, and the Magi come in, and they present. It says they bowed down and worshiped Jesus. They bowed down. Like, I mean, these are, you know, high-ranking officials that coming and very well-respected, and they worship. Now, they don't just observe that, yep, there's the Savior of the world that they prophesied about and the star that brought us here. No, no, no. And they're honoring the King. How are they honoring King Jesus with what? With gifts. And it says they honored him with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I can't help but wonder if in that moment, you know, or had Mary had the thought like, okay, God, you've asked us to raise the Savior of the world, but Joseph's a carpenter. Like, carpenters are okay. They're hardworking, but how much money do they make? I mean, is it a good living? Can we afford the best for the Savior of the world? How are you going to take care of us? And I wonder if in that moment, as gold is being presented, okay, I'm throwing in some thoughts that are kind of mine, but based on historical data about when a king was presented something, you know, most likely those wise men, those magi, probably gave Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus presented to him not only the frankincense and myrrh, but when they presented the gold, that was probably 2 to 3 pounds of gold. 2 to 3 pounds of gold. And what would that be worth in today's dollars? Well, that would be like receiving in today's dollars anywhere between, in current, I just looked it up, current numbers, $126,000 to about $200,000 in one gold treasure there, moment. And you can't help but wonder if Mary went, wow, that's a lot of gold. That's a lot of provision. That should do it. That should help a lot in raising baby Jesus. I mean, Joe's got a good job and he's hardworking, but that'll help. That'll help. You can't help. I've thought about this. I can't help but wonder if even Jesus's when his earthly ministry began, right there at age 30, was it the gold, part of the gold that was stored up there from the Magi's that helped fund the ministry? I can't help but wonder. You go, that's interesting, because I know, you know, Jesus was, I think, helped in the carpentry business as well. But you go, was that one way that God helped provide to get the gospel out? Because it takes money to do everything. It takes money to live. It takes provision that way. And I just can't help but wonder that. You know, I think Mary, in her pondering and reflecting, is a way she's demonstrating to us what an active and engaged relationship with God looks like. That we should be people who treasure up the memories and the moments and how they become memories, and that we ponder them, we reflect on them. And she's demonstrating a faith, an intentional faith that involves listening and remembering and reflecting and even wrestling with what does this mean, and what's the intention here, and God, what are you doing? And some of it I see, but some of it there's mystery. And but I love that Mary demonstrates, and that God allows this verse in the scriptures for us to go, okay, Mary wasn't passive. She was deeply thoughtful. She was deeply thoughtful and spiritually attentive. She wasn't dismissive to what God was doing in her and around her. And as I go to these, and as I've been reflecting on this message today and reflecting on this verse, I've just been thinking about moments that have formed memories in my life. And I was thinking, I'm not going to give you a bunch of specifics here, but I was thinking about in the early years from 0 to 18, I was thinking about just, and for the loving foundation, Christian family, the solid foundation with, because I had grandparents and parents that loved us well and that modeled what loving each other looked like and loving God. And again, I don't want to paint the picture that there was no challenges. There were some challenges in there. There was some difficulty. There was a divorce in there and the difficulties surrounding that and other things. But as I reflect on it now, as I reflect on those moments, I think, God, I can think of so many great things. I can think of so many good things. I can think of hard things too. And those helped form and shape me. But I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for the good ones and the difficult ones, because all of those help form us. And in my 20s, got married in my 20s, so married Shelley, and of course that's one of my greatest memories, and still is an ongoing story, and I'm so grateful for her. I in my 20s, I really grew as an artist. I experienced some betrayal in my 20s that really shaped future things, really difficult, probably the greatest betrayal ever in my life. I was, Shelley and I began actively doing youth ministry, and I was, as a matter of fact, just again, I've been in a very reflective mode, so I've been looking through photo albums, and I saw a photo album this week that was of old youth group days when we were in our 20s, and I started sending pictures to people that are still around that I was like, oh, look at this picture. And I've, so it was just fun, the joy from those moments that were captured with a photo and the memories that they brought up. And it was, of course, in our 20s that our first son arrived, and that changed life forever and in a great way. And anyways, and then in our 30s and 40s, just the intentionality that started to happen in my life. I moved from being more just a free flow guy, artistic guy, to a very intentional, not always intentional, but more intentional. God was really growing me in my faith. He was growing me in my ability to be an ongoing learner, finished my degree in my, and that was in my 20s, but in my 30s, really started consuming books and literature and the Bible, and just more and more actively growing that way. And there's so many, I can think of so many faith stretching memories that I can think of little moments, but more than that, I think of kind of a group of moments that become a memory that I'm like, God, that was really a faith stretching season. And of course, our second son arrives in our 40s, and in the 50s, I can think of a lot more. I'm in my 50s now, and more stretching moments and great moments. But it's a mixture. But the point being, is that when you, like Mary, when you treasure up those memories, and when you take moments and put them together in memories, and many times going through old photos helps to remember some of that. I actually did an exercise, and I challenge you to do it. But I was challenged by a coach that I had one time to look through those time periods, up to your 20s, and then kind of your foundational years, and then your 20s and 30s, and write kind of the theme of that. And so, like, this is what mine looks like. Of course, I drew it out a little bit, but it's like capturing decades. What were some of the big things you learned? What were some of the challenges you learned? And put a name on it. Like, what was it? Was it a season of discovery, a season of growth? And so that exercise really helped me as I pondered, and even this message today, and I thought about it. But I love that you can attach photos to memories now. And of course, we all have phones or have computers and cameras that we can digitally, I feel like you got a lot more opportunity to capture memories easier than ever with video and with our phones, because we're all right here. So encourage you to do that. And for me, as I was reflecting, even though what I just shared, I started, thoughts and more moments and memories came, and gratitude started rising up in me, even for the challenging things, even for the hard things. I was like, oh, that was a really difficult season or a difficult circumstance. But God, now in retrospect, in looking back at it, I can see what you were doing. I can see how you worked things for good that were really bad. I can see what I learned out of that. I can see how you used it in my life and it's one of the privileges we have as we get older is we have time to look back, and we can see what God did back there and use it for today. But you can have experience, you can have memories that if they're not evaluated, you actually don't get the benefit out of them, because experience isn't the best teacher. It's evaluated experience that's the best teacher. It's experiences that were pondered and treasured and prayed about. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. And so Mary's doing that. And I think we can learn that from her, even from this verse here in verse 19 that says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Gratitude, yes. Maybe some sadness, but certainly some like, God, what's the future going to look like? Because I think she had moments probably of peace and fear and all of it mixed together. But she's pondering it. Because not everything is meant to be immediately explained. I mean, some things are meant to be treasured. Listen to this. Some things are meant to be treasured before they're meant to be understood. Some things are meant to be treasured before they're understood. And Mary, she had to have been looking at the future going, God, you're having me raise, Heavenly Father, you're having me raise the Son of God. You're having me raise the Messiah. What's the future going to look like? And I can't help but think there were so many things she didn't understand. And then, in this treasure and ponder progression, she has a moment that was recorded in Luke 2, 35 to 34. It says, "This child," speaking of Jesus, "has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him, and a sword will pierce your very soul." And the whole verses are written out for you on the screen. That's a quick summation, but it's that last line, "and a sword will pierce your soul." And so Mary, when she heard that, from the prophet and Simeon, and I can't help as Simeon took Jesus into his arms and he's praising God, and then he says, "There's going to be a sword that will pierce your soul, Mary." I can't help but think she's going to be like, "Wait, did I sign up for that? I don't know." But she knew she'd have incredible gratitude, but this journey would there would be a heart-wrenching grief time for her. But it was unknown. I don't think she could have had any specific understanding. She would gain understanding that Mary's moment and the memories and her the one she was holding in her arms in that moment would be the greatest blessing the world's ever known, but it would be one of her greatest trials, one of her greatest difficulties, one of her greatest losses. And I can't help but think as she stood by the cross and watched her son die, her precious son, her innocent son, suffer, beaten, bloodied, knowing that he's the savior of the world. The tension, the emotional tension she had to have felt in that moment to go, I know this is right, but it's killing me. I know this is right, God, but this is hard. And as she's treasuring and pondering that, I think she's got to be saying, God, I trust you with the future. God, I trust you with my son. I know he has to do this. What she, I don't know if she realized in that moment, that later she would form a memory that 3 days later her son would rise again and defeat death. That our Heavenly Father would raise him from the dead. And that the weight and the impact of that blessing, that incredible gift of forgiveness and grace, would be offered to all of us. Certainly, she didn't have a full understanding of that. But I can't help but wonder if later on in her life, as she's pondering all that later, and because she'd treasured it up in her heart, I can't help but think, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for letting me go through that grief and that pain. Thank you for letting Jesus do that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I see that it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Because Mary knew at that point, of course, what it really meant that her son, that she was holding in her arms that day, truly is, was, and still is the Savior of the world. Because when a moment becomes a memory, it just keeps giving as we ponder it. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate giver. And his gift that we celebrate this Christmas, his being born on mission for you and I, his willingness to come humbly, it wasn't just a moment. It wasn't just a memory. It was the greatest blessing ever known. I want to wrap this up. I didn't realize I was going to get so teary. So would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? And I want to pray for you, because in this moment, God is with us. He's with you. He's there. He's here. He says he's available to us at all times. He's with us. He is Emmanuel. And if you've already surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've already received the gift that he paid for on that cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, through what Mary saw him go through and watched him suffer and die and was buried and then rose again, and he appeared to over 500 witnesses and the disciples, and all of that happened, and Mary knew all of that, and that was on purpose to still thousands of years later say to you and I, he did that for you, he did that for me. And so I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, would you say, I believe that, Kevin. I believe that he did that for me, for my forgiveness, salvation, that I could have a relationship with him. And like Mary, continue to ponder and treasure up the gift of salvation, the gift of grace. Dear Jesus, would you you know every person watching this, every person tuning in, and you know those who are hurting and they need a comforter. You know those who are afraid and wrestling with fear. And I pray that they would see that you are our help in time of trouble. You're their help. You see those that are battling financial struggles. They're strapped. They're just entangled in messes of debt and difficulty. Would they recognize and call out to you, Jesus, be my provider? You know those who are feeling weak and need your strength, all of it, Lord, any challenge, Lord. And so we just give him, talk to him right now. Say, that's me. I need you, God. I need you, Jesus. Just talk to him and let him, and listen. Let him talk to you and then ponder it and treasure it. And again, if you're sick today and you need healing in your body and or your emotions or your mental state, Jesus, I ask you, come and heal that person right now who just says, Jesus, heal me. Heal them right now in Jesus' name. You paid the price for that. You say, Lord, in Psalm 103, forget not all your benefits. We ask for healing today that you paid the price for. Salvation, yes, but healing, yes. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Merry Christmas to you. See you soon.